Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on a Wednesday, NBA draft day. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you see we are live at the Wharf. That's the Washington Monument over that shoulder. That's the Jefferson Monument or Memorial right there. As we are live at the Wharf, where Wizards Draft HQ is, all your favorite media members will be here, just a couple floors up from the actual Wizards Draft War Room. So somewhere downstairs, Michael Winger, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, and the Wizards front office is getting ready to either make the sixth overall pick or make a trade so that they're not making the sixth overall pick tonight in the 2025 NBA Draft. Officially, our draft coverage starts now. This is your Wizards Draft Show, and it will extend when our show, usual time, ends at 7 o'clock. It will keep going with Linnell Willingham. Undoubtedly, Linnell will stop by and be sitting here at some point during the show. Also, with us on set here today, Josh Robbins of The Athletic, in just half an hour to talk about kind of a bigger picture team building exercise in the NBA. Josh covered the Orlando Magic for a long time, so he's always keeps a close eye on what they're doing. And they obviously have been one of the teams of the offseason so far with the Desmond Bane trade. He's obviously covering this team, which is mid-rebuild. And we all just watched the Pacers and the Thunder, two teams that were built similarly, make the NBA Finals. So in a changing NBA landscape under this new CBA agreement, what are the Wizards doing and how does it fit into that? We talked to Josh a little bit about that last week, but some of these bigger trends that we can, what can we learn from, I think are interesting things to draw from. And we'll talk to Josh Robbins. We're going to talk to Josh Robbins about that at 4:30. So with that said, Anthony, back in our DC studio as always, with us, and how are you feeling going into tonight, going into this NBA draft? Like, I'm excited to see what happens, but I do feel like talking to folks around, the organization and talking to fans and just talking to Wizards adjacent people, NBA adjacent people, the last couple of days about this draft, there's a big, I don't know, we'll see. And that's kind of where I'm at as we are a couple hours from draft time.
I mean, I'm excited for the draft for sure. I really just, you know, think back to the last time we had the 6th and 18th pick in a draft, and that was 2011, where we infamously took Jan Vesely at 6 and then Chris Singleton at 18. And that didn't pan out so well. So, no. I think the fact that we have, you know, Will, Michael, and Travis, you know, here leading this draft, I think I have a little bit more faith and more confidence that they'll get it right because, again, like I think the first 2 years they've done an incredible job. So I'm optimistic that, you know, they'll make the right decision. There's been a lot of players linked to, you know, the Wizards, and I think they'll do what best, you know, fits what we currently have right now.
Yeah, and kind of what the best thing is moving forward. You know, the what they are right now piece is interesting because what they are right now is a collection of parts that needs a center to revolve around. Not a center as in the, you know, power forward versus center. A center as in a central hub. And I don't know that they're going to get that in this draft. And the hope was that they would get better lottery luck and that Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper, the top two picks in this draft tonight, barring something very surprising happening, that those two guys are capable of that. I think the question is there someone else who's capable of that? And if so, who is it, obviously? And that's where I think the guy who's the most intriguing prospect in this draft is kind of the key to the whole thing. And it's a guy who was considered with those other two for a long time, and that's Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey is a, if you are just tuning in today, having not checked out any NBA draft coverage, you're like, oh, it's draft day. Let's see what Hoffman has to say. He'll get me ready. We are here to serve. We are here for you. But Ace Bailey is 6'7", forward, 6'7 and a half, 6'7 and a quarter, I think was the official combine measurement, forward out of Rutgers. And going into last year, I think many saw him as the second best player in this draft behind Cooper Flagg. He quickly, I think, fell behind in the eyes of many, his teammate at Rutgers, Dylan Harper. And if you were a college basketball fan and you're like, wait, I didn't hear anything about Rutgers all year. Did I miss that? Were they good? No, they were not. Rutgers did not make the NCAA tournament with two of the potential top three picks in the NBA draft tonight. And a lot of folks look at Ace Bailey more so as the reason why than Dylan Harper. Bailey still, for as quote-unquote bad as he was, and I don't even know that he was bad. He certainly wasn't bad statistically. He averaged almost 18 points and 8 rebounds a game as a freshman. Like, that's a hella good season. They didn't have a lot of talent around them. The fit was a little funky at times. But, you know, Dylan Harper has talked about how Ace Bailey is this, like, happy-go-lucky guy. His energy in the locker room is amazing. And if you watch him, there is an incredible shot-making ability that he has, which is the hardest thing in the sport to have. And, you know, that makes you think, like, well, shoot, if he's got the highest upside, and he could truly be a star that scores 25 a game, like, should probably take that guy. The problem is he was a super tough shot maker. Typically, when guys are tough shot makers in college, it doesn't really work out in the pros because you go from being able to take and make tough shots to being able to not take shots because the defense is far better. And he doesn't, like, the feel for the game from, like, a passing standpoint isn't there. There's real questions about his defense. I want to be clear about that. There are questions about his defense, not he is a bad defender, because he showed real defensive upside at times. And his length and his lateral quickness and, like, his stance is pretty good. So, like, there's some a lot to like there potentially. And if you tell me you get a guy who's a good shot maker, typically rebounding translates at a higher level. So, like, a solid rebounder and a good defender, like, that's not necessarily a star. But that's a higher floor than I feel like some people talk about Ace Bailey getting credit for. In a lot of mock drafts, he has fallen to the Wizards at 6, and that has been the pick. Anthony, do you have let me run this by you, because I was watching some more stuff of him earlier today. I've read so much stuff, and I was like, I've watched him before. Like, let me stop reading other people and put my own eyes on him again. I feel like there's some Carmelo-y type of vibes with his game, and some of it is the specifics of how he creates shots, the spots that he shoots from. And that's an interesting player in the 2025 NBA, like a very interesting player. Obviously, Carmelo impacted winning at Syracuse as much as you possibly can, the one and only national title that Jim Boeheim ever won. But there are, like, the quick feet, the ability to get on balance, the quick release. But I think the thing that separates a guy like Carmelo or some of the best scorers in the league from a guy like Ace currently is the handle's not nearly as tight. Everything is long. It takes a while for him to get to the spot, to get the thing. Like, once he gets there, it's super quick up and into the motion, and he makes it a lot. But the handle is the thing that's going to prevent him from being the elite scorer. But I'm like, well, shoot, you can improve your handle. Like, that's the tantalizing to me. Like, Ace Bailey is, this is not a opinion that only I have. This is not rare in any way. Ace Bailey is the most intriguing guy in this draft because the ceiling's really high. The floor is also potentially really low. And I just don't know what to do with that information, especially for a team like the Wizards, who has typically been like, let's get on base so that when we hit a home run, it's worth a lot. But do they have enough base runners on, and are they in a position to take swing for the fences here, or do they just try to say, hey, let's get another guy on and let's look ahead to this 2026 draft next year, which is even more loaded than this one?
It's funny you mention, you know, his handle being a little loose and a little wide. I think if you're 6'10", as he was promoted as being when he was in
listed
college
as,
and now that he's 6'7", it's like, if you're 6'7" and your handle's like that, it's unacceptable. If you're 6'10", I think you get a pass for it just because, you know, how tall you are. But I think the height differential, or, you know, us learning, finding out how tall he is truly, I think that sort of kind of affected him and his draft stock. I think if he was still 6'10", I don't think a lot of people will have a lot of, you know, problems with this game. But yes, him, his inability to, you know, have a tight dribble is concerning if you are 6'7", because again, like, that's shooting guard size. Like, you're, to me, you're like, he's listed as a forward, but in my eyes, I view him more as a guard now, just because he's 6'7". He doesn't really, you know, play from the post. He can, and I think that's what you talk about when you compare his game to Carmelo Anthony. Like, he can get to his spots, but it's just not the same manner in which Melo did.
No, for sure. And Carmelo was a bigger body type. Ace is still real slim. But, like, what happens when he puts on weight? Like, these are the questions. Some of the other names to consider: Jeremiah Fears, Trey Johnson, Konka Nipple is going to be in the mix. Vijay Edgecombe, if he were to fall that far, I do not think he's getting past Philadelphia in three at this point. Most of the mock drafters have kind of come to consensus on that. But we'll see. There's a couple other names to mention as well. We'll run through Fears and Johnson because they feel like the three, along with Bailey, most likely guys next. Plus, we'll take some calls. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your calls. Who do you want to see the Wizards draft? Plus, Josh Robbins, Kevin Pelton, Shakira Austin on the show today. We're locked and loaded on NBA Draft Day live from Wizards HQ on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you see we are at the Wharf Wizards Draft HQ. I think Chase Hughes is also going to join us a little bit later on in the show. So Chase, Josh Robbins in about 10 minutes. We got Shakira Austin at 5:30, the Mystic star who is the Eastern Conference Player of the Week in the WNBA. Right now, though, taking your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the player that you would like to see the Wizards take in tonight's NBA draft. I will say real quick, just on a technical side, we seem to have a little bit of a delay over the air in terms of what's coming back to studio. So I will ask you who you want to take on the phones. You will tell me, and then Anthony is going to hang up the phone on you, and I will respond, and then we'll get to the next person because the delay will be funky and a back and forth. So if it sounds like I'm rude to anyone, it is not on purpose. That is a tech issue. We are aware of it, and there's not anything we can do about it. So with that, Cato, who would you like to see the Wizards take tonight in the 2025 NBA draft?
The 6'10 outstanding man out of Maryland University, Derek Queens.
Interesting. I do think that we are going to have a lot of Derek Queen calls. And Anthony, I'm getting an echo. If we could ixnay on the phone there, thank you. If we on Derek Queen, I'll put it this way: I can make the argument for Derek Queen. The argument for Derek Queen is this: he is 6'10". He's very, very skilled for a big. He can shoot it well enough that I think he will develop a 3-point shot in the NBA. Now, that 3-point shot in the NBA might be Miles Turner, where it's really good sometimes and it's really gone others. Turner was just abnormally bad in the NBA Finals. He's also had seasons where he's been an excellent 3-point shooter and has hit a bunch of big shots in his career. But when you look at Queen as a defender, when you look at Queen as something more than just like a kind of an offensive guy that can become a hub, I don't know how much versatility he has. And that to me is the question, is like, is Derek Queen, and these types of players I think are the hardest player in the league. And in many ways, they just traded one away in Jordan Poole. If you give Jordan Poole the keys to an offense, he'll score 20 to 25 a game. He'll hit a bunch of shots, and that's probably the best production you're going to get from him versus trying to shove him into square peg, round hole, off-ball player, you know, whatever. But is he good enough to be a hub on a winning team? That I don't know. And I think typically what winds up the best usage for those players is either they evolve to round out their skill sets. Miles Turner is a great example of this, where he became such a good shot blocker and a good defender, and he was become a different part of that what they wanted versus like kind of the center of it all in Indiana. Or they become, hey, we're going to build our second unit around you. And maybe that's a fine eventual landing spot for Derek Queen is like, hey, you're going to be our first big off the bench, and we're going to be able to run offense through you, and you're going to crush second unit guys because you're really good. But I don't know if defensively and all that kind of stuff, if they are going to be able to get what they want out of Derek Queen. I don't know if he fits the player profile. All right, Anthony, is Bargos? Is that the name we're going for? All right, Bargos, who do you got for the Wizards tonight in the 2025 NBA draft?
Hey, Craig. I got hopefully Ace Bailey. You know, I think with the high ceiling, the skill set, off the dribble bounce, shot making, hopefully we can square up some of his deficiencies. And, yeah, I think it's worth the swing. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. I think we talked about Ace, obviously, off the top. I think he is a really intriguing guy. And here's what I said this yesterday, Anthony. He's the most dangerous guy in the draft to me. Because if you don't pick him and you're wrong, you're going to feel like an idiot. And if you pick him and you're wrong, you're also going to feel like an idiot. Like, either way, I could see him being the guy that you're like, I cannot believe we passed on that guy, where he's turns into a general, like a really genuine, like all NBA type of scorer, playmaker, all that stuff. Some of the areas that are wanting in his game round out, especially if you get him in the right situation. And I could also see where it's like you take him, and some of the stories about, oh, I want to go somewhere where I'm this, you know, I just get a bunch of shots. And you're like, that's who you are as a player, is kind of a selfish, for lack of a better term, shot taker. And you don't make a lot of them because you're 6'7", not 6'10". And you're going to be like, well, that was a waste of a draft pick. So to me, Ace is the most dangerous guy. And this is where you have to trust your scouts. And your scouts have to be really good at not only scouting the player, but scouting the person. And that's kind of where I'm at on Ace Bailey.
No, I would agree. But I feel like players like the Mellos, players like Paul George, who else are like some other like tough shot makers? Like, you need that in today's NBA. Like, I think that's what it boils down to sometimes. I mean, can you make tough shots?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a tough shot maker.
Yep.
And he's averaged 30 a game 3 straight years, just won an MVP and led his team to the title. He also had 12 assists and 1 turnover. Obviously, he's a point guard, so I think the Paul George, Carmelo comparisons are much more apt than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But like, the thing about PG and Melo is like, them dudes are big. Like Paul George is very tall, very long. Carmelo was like 6'8", 240. Like, he was built. He would back you down and just dump dudes under the basket.
And PG also has handle with him too, so
PG's handle's crazy. And so, like, I'm trying to think of another dude who just, I mean, this is previewing a little bit. This will become obvious when we air this interview at 5 o'clock. I taped with Kevin Pelton earlier today, and like, a guy that he brought up was like Adam Morrison. Had a similar statistical profile to Ace Bailey. And obviously Adam Morrison famously did not work out. All right, when we get back, well, Josh Robbins is here, so we're going to take the commercial break that precedes Josh Robbins. I'm going to rearrange the chairs, and then we're going to talk basketball with Josh Robbins next on The Hoffman Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Hoffman Show, Wizards Draft Show Edition, here on the Team 980. Always live on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see we have reconfigured the room ever so slightly to accommodate my good friend Josh Robbins. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us twice in a week here. Had you on the phone last week, and we kind of ended with this thought about team building and what we were learning from the NBA finalists and how with the second apron, you know, now being such a hard cap, kind of basically a hard cap, teams are treating it as such. They're like, we cannot go into that thing. How that landscape is changing the league. And sure enough, we see yesterday the Wizards ensure that they could be a soft landing spot for a team next year who's trying to unload talent with the Jordan Poole trade. As you've had time to digest the finals here for a couple of days, think about what the Pacers have done, think about what the Thunder did, and run it through the lens of this team that we both cover. What are some of the things that you think that they're doing well and some of the areas where you're like, I wonder if they'll lean into that as the landscape changes?
Well, what they have not had the benefit of is luck in the lottery in a year where there are top level prospects like this one, where there are two very high top level prospects. Last year, the runner up in the lottery got the person they thought was the very best prospect, but it was a bad year for at the top of the draft. What are they doing well? Well, they are creating a ton of cap flexibility. They found a way to move off their most onerous contracts, the Beal contract and the Jordan Poole contract, which they got in the first place because they had to unload Beal, and have given themselves some optionality.
Yeah.
To sound highfalutin here. and what you said is exactly what I wrote yesterday afternoon after the deal was agreed to, that that potentially $100 million in cap space next summer most likely will be used to bring on a contract or two or three where they get a pick, a valuable pick in return. What did Indiana and OKC show? Well, it showed that you can build a finals roster with your best player coming in via trade. And the problem right now with the Wizards is I'm not sure they have anyone on their roster who could bring back the caliber of who SGA was several years ago when the Clippers let him go, or Tyrese Halliburton when the Kings let him go for Sabonis. So that's their, now that's what they have to do. They either have to develop their players who they already have or somehow draft someone who could become a top-level player.
The other thing I think we talked about, too, was the changing landscape of, or one thing I think it's important to talk about on draft day, whether we talked about it or not, is the changing landscape of who the best players in the league are. Forever, it's top three pick type of guys. It's your number one overall picks. Now we see, you know, let's just run through the guys, right? SGA was a 10th, you know, forget the fact that he was traded. I think people who know, like, understand why the Clippers made that move. It didn't wind up working out for them, but they understand why. But still, he was, what, like a 10th or 11th pick in the draft? Halliburton, same thing. You have Giannis, who's international, but 15th. Jokic, second round. Like, they're coming from different places. The All-NBA teams have never had more difference and disparity in terms of where those players were drafted. Why is a interesting discussion in terms of heavier international, less data in college, all these kinds of things. But is there something that you see as like a common thread between some of these guys where, like, is there something to figure out here, or is there just an element of luck, or is it actually not even as much about drafting? And this is a fun conversation. Is the development piece maybe more important than ever? And is that something that, you know, if you're Washington, you've invested a lot of money in, and hopefully you're hoping that's the correct answer?
Probably all of the above. It's going to be very tough to make gains if you can't develop. Giannis was developed, although he also physically grew into the person he is now. Jokic, I'm not so sure if he was developed. He almost had that certain unusual skill ahead of time. I think what it signals to me is that the American way of developing very young players has lost a bit of its edge. Certainly it's not where it was 25 years ago, where the top prospects would spend 2-3 years in college under a top-level college coach. And in the years since, the influence of AAU it's just never been higher. And all of the old-school coaches will tell you that the AAU influence from players coming out of the United States has been maybe not malign, but not optimal.
Yeah.
So it seems like the developmental system here in the United States is not is losing ground relative to the rest of the world. And as for Giannis, the people who drafted him will tell you, yes, they saw a possibility, but they also got lucky. I don't think they ever thought he'd become who he is.
Right.
They will tell you that. So those are my thoughts there.
Yeah, Josh Robbins of The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. So to me, that actually is a nice segue into the guy who's the most intriguing player in the draft tonight, which is Ace Bailey, because I could tell you why Ace Bailey, like, I think I just said this last segment, like, he's the most dangerous guy in the draft, because if you don't take him and he winds up being awesome, you're like, I should have known, son of a gun, that guy's so good, why, how do we pass on him? And if you take him and he busts, then you, all the signs are right there. So what do you do with that information, Josh?
Well, you better have done a ton of your own work. Not you, Craig Hoffman, but we're talking about the Wizards, right? The
sure.
Wizards are said to be
one of his preferred destinations.
Well, yes, that also. All of these teams, and in this case the Wizards, they better have done their own original scouting and then deep dive research into his past teams and also his medicals, as with any player. If you don't have that, and you don't have that apparatus, and you don't trust that scouting, in that case, that's where probably you'd be a lot less likely to pick him, if you didn't trust your own scouting. The Wizards have a deep belief in this scouting and intel gathering system that they have. Now, what they have determined about Ace Bailey is unclear. Okay?
Right.
But they at least have that apparatus and certainly the experience where they should be able to make as informed a decision as possible, except for the fact that he is said to have not worked out for any individual
team. Do you believe that, by the way? Like, do you think that we're going to find out that whether it's Washington or whoever takes him, had a secret meeting, secret workout somewhere?
I guarantee that if he gets picked tonight here and faces questions from the Washington media, he will be asked that question.
I wonder who would ask it. Perhaps Varun Shankar of the Washington... No, I'm just kidding. Josh Robbins with us here on the Hoffman Show.
If he gets to the mic first, yeah, he will, and he's sharp, and so he... Yes, he could.
You've got to watch out for those young guys. They're quick.
I've got. Well, who's to say I'm not young?
That's the correct retort. Not me.
Well, now I'm suddenly offended. The youngs, not the Varun's.
I mean,
part,
Varun's.
But the
I've known
young
Varun
stuff.
Since he was in high school, and that wasn't that long ago.
All right. Well, I was in high school once too.
And, so was I.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think we're getting off topic.
Welcome
here.
To
like
the show,
Varun.
Josh. Thank off topic you. Is what we do.
Who are we talking about? Bailey?
Yeah, that's who we were talking about. We
right.
can keep talking
so,
about him. People probably care about that more than when I was in high school.
With Ace Bailey, I want to know, in addition to, did you work out anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't work out anywhere, why was... Or if you wanted to go to Washington, as the rumors said you did, why?
Right.
And is that why you didn't work out for... other teams or for Washington, or you did work out here? Who knows? That has to be asked.
Of course.
And preferably tonight, but if not then when he gets formally, physically introduced to the media.
No doubt. Jeremiah Fear is another guy that I'm more interested in than I was when our show started yesterday, about 30 minutes after the pool news, but before that news broke yesterday. There's now just not as much of a logjam at that position. You know, one of the things they obviously care about here is development, the ability to get guys minutes. You know, we saw that last year with Kuzma still here, but Avia traded and knowing that Bilal needed some more minutes, and then they ultimately, you know, draft Keyshawn George. That works out well. So, long story short, Jeremiah Fears is a guy that I think is a really interesting fit because he ticks a box that I know Will Dawkins cares about, and then there's a gigantic question mark in another box that I know Will Dawkins cares about. The one he ticks is speed. They want to play fast here. That guy might be the fastest player in the draft. His handle is great. He's going to get out and push. That fits what a wizard is offensively. Defensively, he's to say he's got a lot to be desired. It's the old, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. That might be him defensively. How do you think he would fit with what Will and Michael and that crew is building?
Ultimately, you got to be able to shoot in this league. That's one of the lessons that, once again, the finals have shown. You've got to be able to play at least four out. Can he get to a? Can he be at least a league average shooter? Preferably, you'd want much better than that. Is he tall enough to provide the defensive presence and to be as effective offensively as you need to be? Those are the questions. And the Wizards wanting to play fast, well, the Wizards aren't much different from almost anybody else, particularly these bad teams. They want to play fast because if they're in the half court, they can't score otherwise.
Mm.
And you prefer to get it shot opportunities in transition where the percentages are higher, but you also want to cross half court and get into your offense so you have more time to run actions so you can somehow generate a shot. 8 years from now or 5 years from now, whenever they get relevant, hopefully from their perspective, they have someone who's good enough who could score in the half court, particularly in the playoffs. How does he fit in? There's a lot I have in my hand here, and folks watching on TV, I have the Athletics draft guide written by a friend of mine, Sam Vicente. Fears is definitely within this tier of six prospects who the Wizards would consider.
Yeah.
After Harper goes off the board. But my man Vicente has Fears ranked as the 18th best prospect in this draft. So he's a polarizing prospect. What he certainly did was he made a big-time impact at Oklahoma at the age of 18 as one of the youngest players in college basketball, which is a feather in his cap. Just like Ace Bailey is polarizing, so is Fears, although not for probably the reasons we perceive.
It feels like the two guys that are no longer polarizing are Knipple and Edgecombe. Like, is there any chance that we think that those guys are on the board by the time Washington's picking at six?
Not, certainly not with Edgecombe, unlikely with Knipple, who is probably the most NBA-ready of the guys who are in this third tier.
Interesting. Any other things from like other teams, moves, things that you're kind of watching, rumors that are swirling around that have piqued your interest from your colleagues at The Athletic or otherwise that you think have an impact tonight?
Well, I'm most interested to see who, if anyone, trades up to three or four or five. And I wonder how much of the smoke about teams potentially trading up 2-3 emanate from the team that holds that number three pick, Philly. I don't know the answer to that. Is it possible that this is all coming from Philly? Possible. Certainly, I think the Wizards would love to trade up, and I'm not necessarily convinced that it would be Bailey. It might be Edgecombe at three. I think it probably would be Edgecombe at three. That's one thing. And then the biggest thing league-wide are these trades that have been made, particularly by the Celtics, who are, as you said, they're avoiding the second apron like the plague. They're saving hundreds of millions of dollars in tax. And are they finished yet? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's part of what's interesting to me.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it here until 7 o'clock, and then I'm going to get up and leave, and Linnell Willingham's going to put on this headset. Everything will be louder, but it's okay. We'll turn the volumes down on that fancy device over there. Linnell will take us here on the Team 980 on our draft show through 11 o'clock. Josh, you'll be over yonder doing your work. Read Josh Robbins in The Athletic. Anthony, we can skip what's trending. Internal comms note there. And, Josh, thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
We'll be back with more draft coverage next here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, ESPN.com's Kevin Pelton on the Jordan Poole trade. Kevin is, of course, the god of trade grades for ESPN. By the way, The Athletic's Zach Harper, who is their trade grade guru and generally great NBA podcaster and writer, he's going to join us on Friday. So Pelton in 10 minutes, Harper Friday. Chase Hughes later on in the show. Shakira Austin, WNBA Eastern Conference Player of the Week for your Washington Mystics, who had a huge dub last night against the Minnesota Lynx. Hey, no Nafisa Collier, doesn't matter, still a dub. They were able to take advantage of the Lynx not having their best player and stack a win. Pulling back within a game of 500, Shakira at 5:30 before she heads off to Las Vegas, where they start a three-game road trip tomorrow. Right now, though, Anthony, let's take a look back inside David Aldridge's NBA Draft Confidential. And one player that we haven't mentioned a ton that I think is intriguing for the Wizards and occasionally is being mocked up pretty high is Duke center Kamon Maluyak. I should really get the pronunciation exact there. I'll have to do that, especially if he is a Washington Wizard. But how about this from college head coach number one? Again, the NBA Draft Confidential, we've been reading some excerpts from it the last couple of days as a discussion point to talk about some of these guys. David Aldridge talks to execs and college coaches, like NBA execs and coaches, college coaches, and now there's like college general managers too, and gives them anonymity to be able to be honest about players. And so this college head coach who says, or whose team played Duke this year, says, I actually think he has the biggest upside of anybody in the draft. He's huge and he's long. He's a good athlete. I think he has natural defensive instincts. He shoots the ball better than I think maybe he was able to show this year. He's a live body. He's enthusiastic about playing. It seems he loves the process, is not afraid of it. He's competitive. He's not afraid. He's ready to mix it up if he needs to. His length, size, and athleticism. And then when you add those other things, I think the only thing that could stop him is injury. Where do we sign? If that's who he is, holy crap. Sign me up. Now, is that actually who he's going to be? That, I think, is up for more debate, Anthony. But if he is all of that stuff and he's better than people think, well, by definition, that's better than people think. The question is, are people thinking wrong?
Yeah, and I just think, I mean, he's a young guy for one. One and done. The motor's there. And when I think about, you know, what we already have here in Washington, like, I mean, having two young, athletic big men who can, you know, switch on to guards, I mean, I wouldn't want Maluyak always defending a guard, but, you know, the fact that he can step out to a degree and then also pair him up with Alex Sarr, I mean, I think you could have a really good, young, balanced front court if we were to, you know, add this young guy. So, I mean, based off what you also just read, like, his upside seems like it could be something, like, serious. And I got to watch my fair share of Duke this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to read a couple more things from two other people that he talked to. First, a Western Conference executive said, guys like him are only in one place for 11 to 13 years and they're starters. What's the worst case scenario he could be? Clint Capella? If you watched him in FIBA offensively, it's two completely different talents than he showed at Duke. In FIBA, he's shooting threes. At Duke, no. Think about other Duke bigs. Guys like Derek Lively, probably a little underrated. Mark Williams, been a good player. Like, the more I read, the more, and you know, sometimes this is how it goes, right? They don't have any negative things to say in what David collected here, and there's reasons why he's, you know, dropped a little lower, but you know, hyper competitive, great positional size, has potential as a shooter. Like, what's not to like at that point?
But aren't we also seeing, I guess, more double big lineups? Even like the Mavs, you look at, you know, how successful they were when they had Luka, where they had three big men that they were constantly rotating, and then at all times they had two guys that, you know, could be rim protectors to an extent. So even if you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, for most of the season, they ran a double big lineup, and it worked well. They had, you know, Hartenstein, who could do multiple things. They had Chet, who could do, you know, multiple things. And if this guy's going to expand his game, and then you pair that up with Alex Sarr, who, you know, can do pretty much everything, I think it will make for, you know, a dynamic front court.
For sure. All right. Derek Queen, we got some calls on Derek Queen earlier, and I think these are good to read unless you just don't want to be told anything negative about Derek Queen. So from David Aldridge's NBA Draft Confidential, Eastern Conference executive told DA, "I've been telling our guys, you watch him before the games and he seems lackadaisical. He doesn't show a serious side, and that's a turnoff to some people. I'm like, think of Naz Reid when he was at LSU. It was the same damn thing. The games never got too big for Queen." So, like, that's actually a positive one. It's like, oh, he can be a little unprofessional. He's not locked in. But that carefree attitude has a positive side that in the biggest moments, he's just like, I got this, bro. Give me the damn ball and get out the way, which we obviously saw with the famous shot he hit in the NCAA tournament. College assistant who played against Maryland. The skill is real. The knowledge of the game and how to get where he needs to go. Crafty is a real thing. He's not jumping over a phone book. I worry about, can he guard? Who's he going to guard is my question. College assistant number three. I am not a Derek Queen guy. He can't shoot. Look at his three-point percentage and number of attempts. I don't know who he's going to guard. Very skilled with the ball because he's got great hands. Good from 15 feet on in. Doesn't run fast or hard, but he hardly took any threes in the way the NBA game is right now. What are you going to do? But he's a great rebounder. Western Conference scout number one. Nice kid, heavy emphasis on kid. We interviewed him, and he's 19 going on 14. He can do one thing. He can score. But you don't want to have to rely on a scoring rookie for you to contribute. You want to know what he reminds me of? All of us, or like reading that, who he reminds me of?
Who?
Jahlil Okafor.
I think he was a little bit big. Like, Jahlil was bigger, though.
Jahlil was big. But yeah. Derek Queen's big.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, this kind of player, sure, if he rounds out his game and plays defense, like, could he do it? But is there also a chance he's Thomas Bryant? Is there a chance that he's Jahlil Okafor? Is there a chance that he's insert other slow-footed big who's really, really skilled but doesn't have true three-point range and thus would have been better suited to play in the NBA in 1997? In a more half court, we'll post you up and get you single coverage type of game. Yeah. I loved the Derek Queen Maryland experience. I would not want to bet on the Derek Queen NBA experience. But we'll see. Someone's going to. They're going to get a guy that's got a, you know, again, there are worse things you can do in the NBA than score. But that might be all that Derek Queen can do, and if that's all you can do, it's going to be hard to stay on the floor because your net value is not very high. But we'll see. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube from Wizards Draft HQ, just a couple floors above where the Wizards War Room is, where they will take the sixth overall pick tonight or trade it. We will see. They also have number 18, of course, in the first round. Full coverage all the way through with Linnell Willingham, who picks up from us here at 7 o'clock. When we get back here on the Team 980, Kevin Pelton, ESPN.com, joins us with his trade grade for the Wizards and the Jordan Poole deal.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.